reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. It's Zechariah's song. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Would you just join me in a prayer now? Thank you, God, for the reading we have heard and of Zechariah's faithfulness in listening and waiting for you. Thank you for this, our season of waiting, and for the time of hope in your promises that you will guide our feet into the way of peace. We ask you that you will bless Joseph as he brings the message to us today, that you will open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Good morning to you. It's great to be together on this Sunday as we enter into this special season together. Some of you have asked, so don't mind letting you know. You kind of wanted to know who to thank for the lovely atmosphere that's been created. So Sue and Gary are our faithful Christmas volunteers. So why don't you give them a hand? They just did such an incredible job. Hannah and I were here a little bit as well, but we ended up having a situation that we had to do. And when we came, they already had things up and running and going, and really appreciate them doing that. So thank you so much. Really excited just to hear your feedback. So many of you have just talked about how you're just so excited that we're kind of entering into the Advent season, and that we're you know, kind of intentionally moving forward. And it's just been neat to kind of sense that build up a little bit, and that's part of the point of what it's supposed to do, is to get our hearts excited about receiving Jesus afresh in our hearts. And that's what these sorts of things help us to do, and prepare our hearts for those things and be intentional about that. So just in case you're unfamiliar in any way, which is fine, in kind of how that works, there are kind of Christian seasons that we go through, and this kind of actually marks the beginning of the Christian year, because of course it's where our faith begins in a way, at Emmanuel, coming God in the flesh. So last night, in a way, is really the Christian New Year's Eve. So it's, of course, okay to observe and participate in what is essentially the secular calendar. But I think as Christians, there's something powerful about saying we live our lives by a different story than the one that the culture imposes on us, and that there's a greater story and a bigger story that we follow and that we live by and that we walk by. And in some ways, you live in prophetic witness to the culture when you say, I live my life by a different rhythm. And there's all kinds of rhythms that Christians live by, such as the Sabbath and other things. And it's a way of saying that there's something else that we choose to live and guide our lives by. So that's why some of these things are important, because what Hannah and I want as your pastors is for your lives to be so dominated by the story of Jesus Christ that it's when you wake up, you think of the story of Jesus. When you go to bed, you're contemplating on the story of Jesus. And as we go through the seasons, you kind of find yourselves in different parts of that story, whether it's the Christmas story, the Easter story, and other parts in between. And so that's our heart behind this sort of thing. So as we've said, this morning marks the beginning of the season of Advent. So Advent just comes from the Latin word Adventus, which is the translation of the Greek word parousia, which just means coming. And it's about the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's a season of preparation, of repentance, and expectancy that starts the Sunday nearest to November 30th and continues through Christmas. And the period is for recognizing the spiritual need for readying our minds and our soul, really for kind of three things, three parts to it. One is, of course, the anniversary of Christ's birth coming as a baby in Bethlehem. And that is the first Advent, the first coming. Number two, it's kind of his coming now in the present day into the hearts of those who love him. So realizing that he came, but he continues to come and visit people now and breaks into situations. And then thirdly, historically, we celebrate also and look forward to his second coming, where he will come and judge the world and reign supreme. And that is the second Advent, the second coming. So we're kind of in between the comings, and we kind of reflect on where we are during this time. And really, like all great Christian practices, communion's the first one that comes to mind in Christianity. There's a looking back, and then there's a looking to the present right now where we meet Jesus, and then there's a looking ahead to the future as well. So these gatherings are so important at Christmas time, and I just encourage you to make this a priority, at least the four Sundays of Advent, if not other things in addition to that, so that your heart can be in tune with what's going on during this season. The celebrations of the church should, of course, be paramount in the Christmas season rather than the celebrations, the kind of the commercial events that are going on around us. The church should at least be paramount to those. It should not be really be the retailers and the party planners that are telling us how to observe Christmas, right? But it is the church in general that hopefully structures our lives. So, of course, we need to be careful that really, as much as we can, and I know it's hard, that we're influencing the culture when it comes to Christmas more than the culture influencing us, even though I fear more and more that is what's happening, and it becomes a little bit difficult. Just two observations, even just from yesterday, that just kind of shows how you can start to really stray from what we're doing here at Christmas. One, I saw some Christmas gift-wrapped kind of bags and stuff that had, you know, these swear words all over them kind of thing. And, you know, this was kind of Christmas wrapping that people would find, you know, comical. And then when we were driving, we went for a little walk in Little Qualicum Falls yesterday, and there was some advertisement for a wicked or sexy Santa or something like that. And so you just kind of see how the culture just continues to push even Christmas, you know. I mean, you expect that kind of stuff maybe at Halloween or something kind of. But, you know, the culture just continues to push a different agenda onto the Christmas season, which is why we have to do this together. And, of course, there's a great irony of the excess of consumption and consumerism during the season where we celebrate the homeless Son of God born in a stinky manger. There's sort of a disconnect there that's going on. So of course, that's not to say, you know, that Christmas is, of course, supposed to be a day of celebration, and giving gifts is a good thing. It's not bad to be known for being a season of generosity and cheer because, of course, the angel announced, I bring you good news of great joy. But it's a joy that is found in Christ and in understanding what that good news is. So we don't want to come preoccupied with just the outer form of Christmas, the gifts, the lights, the Christmas cards, and then spend little time contemplating the greatest gift that has ever been given, which is Jesus Christ, and the greatness of that day's message. And so we don't want to miss out on that. This is a time of compassion, not of consumption. It's a time where we celebrate Christ, not consumerism. It's a time where we focus on the revealed Savior rather than retail spending. So Christmas, I think, is sort of a litmus test or almost a barometer for our priorities. And really, it's a microcosm of the year-round challenge in our lives, which is, which story are you going to live your life by? Is it going to be the Jesus story, or is it going to be the story the culture tries to impose on you on how to live your life? And there are really two competing stories at times. And I don't have to convince you that Christmas, as I've just kind of said, has really become basically two separate holidays. There's the Christian holiday, and there's the commercial holiday to it. And the commercial holiday has its own advent, kind of its preparation, its anticipation, as most of December is about getting ready for Christmas and shopping. But in order to counterbalance the inevitable but hopefully limited participation in that part of it, I think we have to make a big deal of intentionally preparing our hearts for Jesus through the observance of Advent. So it's why Hannah and I make a big deal out of it, because we need to, in order to make sure Christmas doesn't get hijacked of all of its meaning. And that's the thinking behind it. So we must make a big deal about it in the church, because we are inviting people into a different story, a different experience. So that's sort of a little introduction. But what is the story that we're inviting people into? I just want to briefly give an overview of it through this text and through the 4 points that are on the back of your bulletin there, and talk about how Advent and Christmas, the Christmas story, through this text is about 4 things. It's about the promise. It's about the waiting for the promise. It's about the coming of that promise. And then lastly, it's about the hope of the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that has already been received in part. And the season of Advent is when we place ourselves in this story as if almost for the first time. And we enter into these themes and the emotions of them as we realize, so to speak, or as we relive, so to speak, the story that we choose to live by. So let's start with the promise that had been given. Zechariah talks about this in his song called the Benedictus, is his song what it's called. But in verse 70, he says, as he talks about the promises, he says, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. And then in 73 through 75, he talks about the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear. So he's going back to this promise. He says, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So he's referring to the promise that God had made and has made a promise to his people, Zechariah says, to rescue them and bring salvation in all its forms. It's the beginning of the promise of Genesis 12 that we looked at last week, and I said set us up to come into Advent. And so he goes all the way back to that original promise that God made. And yet, in the context of the story, Israel, God's people, found herself through all of those hundreds, thousands of years, mostly in exile, in slavery, and more often than not, away from the rule and the reign of Yahweh, their God. So there was a deep longing and desire, especially among the few and the faithful, to receive these promises of God that they were holding on to. So number 1, there is the promise. And number 2, there is the waiting for the promise. Much of the Old Testament and the intertestamental period, a period of about 400 years, is a time of waiting for these promises to be fulfilled, the longing of the prophets. I mean, can you imagine the anticipation? I mean, look at how far back Zechariah goes. In verse 70, he talks about what he said through his prophets long ago, going way, way back. He goes back to Abraham in verse 73, going all the way back. I mean, we're talking about thousands of years or more of waiting, of longing, of expecting for God to break in, to fulfill his promise. And you could see the value of faithfulness of his people. I mean, I've been here 7 months, right? And the Lord has given us some promises for this church and some of you promises. And it's been 7 months. And I'm getting a little impatient, right? But when I read the Bible, I'm reminded that, you know, the works of God, they take time. And God is, he's always up to things in the background, and you never know when the promise is going to just break in, as it did with Jesus. But the point is, you have to be faithful in those in-between times, between the promise and the receiving of the promise. And what we find is that very few of Israel actually did remain faithful. And, you know, skeptics, of course, arise in different things. And that happens in our own lives as we're waiting for the promise. So this is a time, Advent, where we also wait expectantly for the coming salvation. Just as Zechariah and others had for so long, we try to almost imagine like them what it was like, what it must have been like to be waiting. Just as we set aside, you know, the 30 days or a little less, we're kind of entering into that waiting, that longing, so that Christmas just becomes an eruption of celebration, almost as if we were there to receive Christ for the first time. Just as a way to enter into this story, I want to just listen to a song from an Advent CD that I break out this time of year, just to get a feel for the waiting, the longing that Israel was feeling during this time. So I want you to kind of feel the emotion of waiting for these promises, even when situations around us look hopeless. And I want you to also feel God's longing to fulfill his promise and to meet his people as well.
Silence if you can. and gather us beneath your wings tonight. Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather you beneath my gentle wings.
Sense the longing that Israel felt, but also the double longing of God. Of course, that last line is the voice of God to Israel, coming from the very words of Jesus, saying, "How often I have longed to gather you as well." And he continues to long for us. He continues to come. So we're waiting for the promises of God. But then thirdly, there is the coming of the promise. As we said, the word Advent means coming, and that's what we celebrate and anticipate. And so can you feel, can you sense Zechariah's excitement? Verse 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed him." That's why it's called the Benedictus, which just means praise be, which just comes from those first two words. The excitement that the time has come, finally, for the promise to be received. He's excited about the salvation, the coming of the promise. Verse 71, "Salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us." He celebrates the coming of rescue, verse 74, "to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear." Celebrates the coming of forgiveness, verse 77, "to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." And he celebrates the coming of light and life and peace, verse 79, "to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So you can sense why Zechariah would break out into this song of praise and thanksgiving as the promise has finally come. And of course, the question for us then is, as we are busy preparing for Christmas, for parties, for presents, for decorations, and for food and for company, do we prepare with equal fervor for a new visitation from the Lord to us and to our hearts? For Christ came, he broke in, he brought life, he brought light into darkness, and he's been doing this since that first coming. He continues to come, continues to break in. And so what we're going to do as a way to respond to this point is we're going to ask Christ to come, to break in, to bring light where there is darkness, to bring salvation and forgiveness where it is needed in our lives. So we're going to do a prayer response, where just a few of us who maybe have something on our hearts.
Shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for praying, and make that your continuous prayer over the next weeks, that Emmanuel, the one who came, would continue to come and break in, bring light where there is darkness, bring forgiveness where there is sin, bring hope where there is hopelessness. This is what he does. This is what he loves to do. So let's work with him in doing that. So we've heard the promise. We've experienced the waiting and longing for his promise. We've celebrated his first coming and the light shining into the darkness. And then lastly, we end with the hope of the ultimate fulfillment of that first promise. See, the promises of Zechariah, they find their ultimate fulfillment in the king and the kingdom that is to come at Christ's return. That wonderful day, as Lon said, where heaven comes to earth. The Advent, as we've said, is always a looking back, in this case to his first coming, a looking to the present, as we just did, where we're asking Christ to break in, or we remember how he broke into our own lives and brought salvation, but also a looking ahead to the future, the anticipation and hope that he will come again and establish his kingdom and his full reign in all of its glory. We celebrate the first coming of Christ as a baby and what he did, and we anticipate his second coming, his return, and what he will do. And his kingdom has already begun in the coming of Christ and continues. So the first coming of Christ was the inauguration of his kingdom, the beginning of what will come to its ultimate fulfillment in the second coming of Christ. And so it is always appropriate at Christmas and at Advent, as we look back and thank God for the coming in the flesh as a baby, that at the same time, almost simultaneously in the same breath, we say, Maranatha, meaning, come, Lord, come again. And I hope that's the longing of your hearts, that he will come again. And my question for you, for us, is, are we being absorbed into the outward Christmas preparations, or are we being absorbed by Christ in preparation for him and his final advent so that we are found ready when he does come again? It's worth remembering that actually very few were ready for Christ at his first coming. Very few noticed, saw the signs, understood what it meant. Few were ready to receive him. So let's pray that the Lord would give us grace for our hearts to be ready to receive him as King once again. Band can come up. And if maybe you're here, I don't know what all your situations are. If you've never found yourself ready to receive Christ, if you've never experienced Emmanuel, God with us, breaking into your own hearts, no better time than now, as we celebrate his first coming, to simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, to ask him to forgive you of your sins, which is what he loves to do, to ask his light to come and invade the darkness in your heart. And you can do that as we sing together. And if there's somebody you'd like to talk to, if you'd like to talk to a pastor, we'd be glad to talk to you, to tell you more about Jesus, to tell you more about what he means to our lives and why we get so excited at this time of year to celebrate him together. So will you pray with me, and then we'll stand and we'll close in a song. And Dave will lead us in the benediction at the end. Well, King Jesus, we celebrate you this morning. Lord, may the posture of our hearts be one of readiness. Lord, that we would be ready to know your promise. Lord, that we would wait for the receiving of that promise. That we would celebrate the coming of the promise. And Lord, that our hearts would be anchored in the hope of the ultimate fulfillment of that promise, which is when you will come again, when you will judge the earth. And Lord, when we will celebrate your complete rule and reign in the world, that rule and reign that was started the night you were born, the beginning of the kingdom that has come and still is to come. So Lord, during this season of preparations, may our hearts be prepared to receive you again, to receive you afresh. Lord, for those of us whose hearts have grown cold, Lord, warm us again to receive you. as if for the very first time. And Lord, as we've already prayed last week, we pray again this week, this season in this church, Lord, may we fall more in love with Jesus than we have ever been. And Lord, if that happens, well then, Lord, this Christmas season has been a success. So we bring all of the things that we're going to do over the next month to you. We thank you for your promises to us. Thank you for your longing for us, even as we long for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me?